as you sit there and I stand here, it doesn't look like we're moving very much. And yet, as we sit and stand this very moment, we are racing through time. We are quickly passing through time and on to eternity. For the Bible speaks of our earthly pilgrimage as a fast, fleeting experience. Every moment that we Christians spend here on this earth is a moment that is bringing us closer to the goal of eternal life. And if we picture earthly life as a journey on a road, it's not difficult to expand that picture to include some signage along the way. Just as the highway department has placed all sorts of signs along the road of our streets and avenues in order to provide helpful information, so also has the Lord provided important information for our journey as we make our way to glory. And some of the signs that are familiar to us from driving on America's highways can be put into a spiritual context to remind us of some important principles which the Lord has set down for us. And so in my upcoming chapel addresses, I plan to take some of these familiar signs and adapt them or use them for spiritual considerations. One of the highway signs, which is often seen on freeways, can be used to illustrate the main message of the entire Epiphany season that we just passed through. It's the one that looks like this. The message of this highway symbol for drivers is, of course, simply that an on-ramp has been put in place for people not already on a certain direction or road to join in those who are already on route. And how can this symbol be transferred to the realm of things spiritual? On the basis of some words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, 2nd chapter, verse 13. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Let the main vertical thick line of the familiar symbol represent the earliest group of believers that were en route to glory. Who were they? In which category of human beings did this group of individuals find itself hundreds of years ago? Before the time of Christ, were believers and unbelievers divided mainly along gender lines, like women being the main believers and men being the unbelievers? No. Was the division in Old Testament times found primarily between those who were slaves and those who were masters, some being mostly believers, others not? No. Was the division found along economic lines? Believers were the poor ones, unbelievers were the ones? No. The main distinguishing feature among people in the Old Testament period is that which was found between Jews and Gentiles. The Jews being the descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Gentiles being everybody else. For hundreds of years, from Abraham on, the Lord made the Israelites his chosen people, and he isolated them from other Gentiles through the unique laws which he had established for Israel's government and worship life. God secluded the Jewish nation because it was through that nation that he said the promised Savior would come and that bloodline needed to be preserved. This doesn't mean that God failed to love Gentiles in the Old Testament era. He has loved the entire human race since the day he created it. Nor does it mean that it was impossible for Gentiles to be saved in the Old Testament period. Naaman the prophet, Ruth the Moabitess were among those who came to believe in Jehovah and were made a part of God's people that way. Nor, conversely, does it mean that all Jews in the Old Testament period were believers simply because of their race, identity. As we've been hearing in some of the chapel addresses presented by Prof. David Lau, even some of Israel's kings turned their back on God's word and forfeited the way to eternal life. What all this does mean is simply that during the Old Testament times, the Jews were the primary recipients of God's grace, for the Lord chose Abraham's family to be the one into whom the Savior of the world would be born. And any Jew who believed as Abraham believed became a part of God's saved people. During the Old Testament period, Gentiles, for the most part, were traveling down all sorts of other roads, going in all sorts of directions other than the one that leads to life. Paul says to us Gentiles that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Gentiles were viewed as outsiders. As a matter of fact, the word that is often translated Gentiles is also translated as heathen. As descendants of Gentiles, as part of that group, therefore, things were not looking very good for us. We did not belong as a people physically to that favored, chosen race of Israel with its miracle-filled history. But then came Epiphany. Then came the Magi, through whose account we see that now all people are welcomed at the foot of the Savior. They came to worship Jesus, who was sent as the Savior for all, Jew and Gentile alike. Paul explains, he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Once Jesus was born, once the promised offspring of Abraham arrived, there was no longer any need to isolate the people of God to preserve the nation of Israel as an entity. Jesus, in effect, opened up an on-ramp for us Gentiles to join the way that leads to life. Even though he did say he was sent first to the house of Israel, he was not sent only to the house of Israel. Paul says, he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to you who were near. And what is that message of peace? Through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Jesus has made it possible for all people everywhere in the globe to gain access to the Father, since he has paid for all the sins of the world which blocked that access to him. If we think of the arrow on the symbol as pointing to God the Father, the rest of the symbol illustrates that the Father is now accessible not only to the Old Testament covenant people of Israel, but also to the Gentiles who now have access in God's Son. Interestingly, since the apostolic age, the proportion of Jews and Gentiles en route to glory has shifted dramatically. Sadly, the majority of Jews since Christ's time have rejected Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah, the chosen one come to save all, and have therefore kept themselves from the way that leads to life. Since Pentecost, the Spirit has worked mightily among Gentiles and has brought countless numbers to saving faith. Because of the abundant mercy of God, now nothing stands in the way of anyone reaching the Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus. Paul says that we Gentiles have been grafted into the family of God, like a wild olive branch grafted into the existing tree, with the result that all of the blessings promised to ancient Israel are now ours as well as theirs, for all who believe in Jesus. Now, therefore, he concludes, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. The on-ramp is in place in Christ, and we Gentiles have been brought in great numbers. What truly great grace. A grace which is spoken of in Hymn 409, stanzas 1 and 2, Hymn 409, stanzas 102 in the Lutheran Service Book. Yeah.